Thank you, Donnie. I'd like to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Well, today I don't feel very adequate or very usually the Lord gives me a little time to mull over and think about what I'm going to preach this morning was about as close as I got to it. I want to start in Isaiah. First verse. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made. And all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. We talked about that this morning in our Sunday school. He that killeth an ox as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their souls delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. You know, that's an interesting set of scriptures there. So he said he made everything. And I preached a couple weeks ago and I asked the question, I said, what is God not able to do? You know, here, when he called, no one answered. When he spake, they did not hear, and they did evil before his eyes. And yet they did these things in his name. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. And I'll try and explain this a little better. 12th verse. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now, are we babes in Christ? We are not spiritual enough to be able to understand what God would want for us. We have envying. We have strife. We have division. Yes, we are carnal. Not able to understand those spiritual ways of God, that God works with us. Let's go to Romans, the 10th chapter. Third verse. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You know, I find that, and I have to look at myself. Have I submitted to the righteousness of God? And in many instances, I find that I haven't. If you don't understand it, how can you submit yourselves to it? It's a valid question. Do you understand what the righteousness of God is? Because, you know, it doesn't go with the things that we see. He does things differently than we look at them. Because otherwise there wouldn't be strife, there wouldn't be envying, and there wouldn't be division. Let's go to the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to mainly use scriptures in Corinthians today. The 26th verse. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showeth it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Eat not. Conscience, I say not thine own, but of the others, for why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. What's he saying there? He's saying that everything is the Lord's. And he's saying that if it's sacrificed to idols and no one tells you, eat. But if they do tell you, don't eat. Why would he say that? Was it not important to him? Of course it was, but the thing was, we place our trust in the physical things of this life. We say, I'm more right because I do this, or I don't do this, Basically, we're saying I'm better because I don't do this or I do this. But Paul said it didn't matter to him. I want to go back a couple chapters and maybe this will clarify things a little bit to you. The 8th chapter. Now, as touching the things offered unto idols, we know that all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Known of who? Of God. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one. God the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. How do we destroy one another? By the things that we do. That's the example of Jesus Christ that I'm representing, or you're representing. For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. You know, there's a scripture, and it's in the 25th chapter of Matthew. It's the 40th verse, and it says, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And this is exactly the same thing. We sin against Christ. And yet we say I'm more righteous because I do this or I don't do that. See, I think that's what Paul was trying to tell us. These strifes and divisions that we have amongst us shouldn't be. Let's go to the 9th chapter of that same book. And this, I think, Paul understood better than most. In this 9th chapter, we'll start at verse 19. For though we be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. You know, if the guy wanted to go fishing, he probably went fishing. It was an opportunity to tell him about the gospel. Those saving words that changed this very being. That I might gain the more. You see, we're salespeople. And what are we selling? The church or Christ? You see, like Paul, I want to sell Christ. You see, he's changed this very being right here. And in so many ways, was Paul exempt from the trials of this life? We know he was not. You know, in the last part of Acts there, where he's going back to Rome, they're on that shipwreck. 14 days in that storm. That's not a trip I wanted to take with him. Are you exempt from the trials of this life or myself? No. And I find that they are more important in many ways than the blessings. Because what they do is they tell us where we are spiritually. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And this is some of the things that Paul went through. 23rd verse. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, more measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths often. Of the Jews 5 times I received, 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night, a day I have been in the deep, and journeying often in perils of water, and perils of robbers, and perils of mine own countrymen, and perils by the heathen, and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, and weariness, and painfulness, and watching often, and hunger, and in thirst, and fasting often, and cold, and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. I wouldn't say he didn't care about himself, but he understood what the job entailed. Do you have this kind of mind? I certainly don't. But it brings me closer to the understanding to have that willingness to give all to Him. And I find that how important that truly is. Let's go to the second chapter of that same book. Seventeenth verse. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in truth. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others epistle, of recommendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You see, I have an opportunity in many instances to talk to people about these things. That it is our God that changes who we are, how we look at things, what is important. We're always looking at the physical, the carnal. Can you imagine the power of God given to you? You mature enough? Not so. You see, we try and make the Word do what it was never meant to do. Our actions and our deeds are supposed to help others. Or are we only interested in our own walk? How can you help others if you don't see it for yourself? The blind lead the blind, and both fall into the ditch. I think Paul understood that very well. Let's go to the fourth chapter here, just over the page. 16th verse through the 18th. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish ye, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Light afflictions. We just went through some of the things that Paul went through. There was nothing light about those afflictions. How many of us would have given up after the first one. Forty stripes. Who needs this? You know, when I first heard the gospel, God poured out his spirit upon me in great measure. And I thought I understood things. I was a babe. But I had a desire. Because the Spirit showed me things that but yet it wasn't a complete picture. You know, when I started out, I was like a blank page. I didn't know anything about the gospel at all. Wasn't raised in any church. Had no concept. You see, Paul wasn't like that. He was a very well-educated man. But unlike Paul, God put people in my path that helped me form an opinion. What's an opinion? Is it a perfect understanding? No, it is not. It says a view or judgment formed about something not necessarily based on fact or knowledge. That's what it says. And I thought when I started out that I understood God. I was in the right church. Testimonies and the experiences and the love that they had, the people around me, converted me to the church. When I was baptized, had an amazing experience. An incredible experience. It was a lake. It was up in the mountains. There was a mist on that lake. The ducks just moved back out. And there was this shaft of light that pierced that mist. It was an incredible experience for me. And I made that commitment to serve God. And there was all those witnesses that I took upon me the name of Christ. I didn't understand what that was going to entail. But one thing I knew. I knew I didn't want to live without God. He had poured out his Spirit upon me in great measure. And yet, that was in another church. Did it void everything because it was in another church? Or did God build upon it? You see, he puts us through trials that we might question where we are. Sometimes to show others where they need to be. And I tell people, I never want to deny those miracles that he's poured out upon me. You see, he didn't start with something perfect. Yet we think we are. See, the understanding of who God is just an opinion. And that opinion can be so incomplete. I want you to think about something, and I want you to go to the Book of Mormon, page 286. It's just a couple of scriptures that I want you to think about. Or just one scripture, I should say. And it is the 11th chapter of Messiah, verse 162. And now it came to pass that while he was going about to destroy the church, and this is Alma, son of Alma, Church of God, for he did go about secretly with the sons of Messiah, seeking to destroy the church and to lead astray the people of the Lord, contrary to the commandments of God or even to the king. Where did they start out? They had godly parents. Where did they start out? I feel that I wasn't any different. Paul even went about to destroy the church. I can't say I tried to destroy the church. But before the change, I didn't feel that I was missing anything. If you've never had the spiritual experience of God pouring out a spirit upon you in great measure, how do you know you're missing it? What made them stop? Here in that 286th page there, an angel of the Lord. What happened to Paul? I mean, he was just as zealous before as he was afterwards. What changed it? Was a spiritual experience that he couldn't deny. What changed me? It was something terrible that happened in my life. I didn't need God before that. Or I didn't think I did. Thought I was okay. Felt like everything that I was doing was okay. Had no knowledge of who God was. Alma became a great worker for God. Paul also. And it's through those trials that he changes us into something that is usable in his kingdom. You see, how about Paul when he stoned Stephen, or was part of it? Stephen was a righteous man. You see, those things condemn us, and yet God still accepts us afterwards. When we truly turn our hearts to him. I want you to go to, and this will be the final scripture for today, because it's the first chapter of Galatians, and this is one of my favorite scriptures, because it tells us where we are. And I want to start in the 13th verse. For ye have heard of my conversion in times past, and the Jews' religion how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. That last part there, I want you to think about that. Are we converted to the traditions of our fathers? Being so zealous . You see, I was there until God pulled that rug out from underneath me and made me look at things a lot differently. He thought he was doing God's work for him, cleansing the church. And I say this in finishing. Where you start shouldn't be where you finish. That if you truly desire that relationship with your God, get on it. Because it is a journey and an experience that you can't imagine. Don't think that you're there. Don't think that you're there for one second. Pray for those spiritual gifts, that he might just pour out his spirit upon you in great measure. Don't think you know it. With that, I want to thank you all for your time, for coming. And I pray that there was something in this that you would profit by. I praise my God. I can't tell you the ways that he has changed this unworthy servant, person, whatever. And I tell you, the love that he pours out upon us, even through the trials, and I believe that they are more important than the blessings. Whether in the church, the trials of the church, whether it's personally, what it does is it tells us where we are. And that's important. It truly is important. Assess yourself daily. Look within yourselves how you can serve your God better. Thank you very much, and God bless you.